This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, let's go around the NFL on a pre-action Monday, is what I'm calling it. Monday Night Football, last game of Week 11. Is a spotlight for your Texans to shine is the third in a group of three primetime games, and the Texans' opportunity to really show out in front of the nation. They'll be doing that tonight versus the Dallas Cowboys. You know that, and you'll be able to hear that right here on Sports Radio 610. Only a two-hour drive because the pregame show gets going at 4 p.m. to get you going and ready for the Texans football. But outside of that, a lot of things happened this weekend. I do want to return to a couple of the games that we were talking about. Bills Chiefs before this game. Mm-hmm. A really interesting thing happened out there with the Bills fans, Bills Mafia. First of all, we knew that our guy JJ, along with the NFL Today, the CBS pregame show for their football, they took their talents to Buffalo to hang out with the people. They were jumping on tables and such. But amongst those Bills fans that are typically well-regarded, they had a hanging Kermit the Frog dressed in a Patrick Mahomes jersey. Is that fair or foul?
Are you offended by this? Seriously. Is this offensive?
Yes.
It is?
For me, because I'm like, what are you trying to do here?
It's freaking Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, but you know what they was trying to do.
I know what they were doing. And his voice and all that.
Have
stuff.
A little couth, man.
I mean,
yeah, like I know y'all be jumping through tables and stuff, but y'all typically like they look at the Bills as them. You know, they're wild, but they're generally nice, and you know they'll donate to your charity when they beat your team and stuff.
Yeah,
hanging up. In a roundabout way, hanging up an effigy. I don't really. I didn't feel like that was in their bag. You know,
look, I generally, and you know me, I generally am sensitive to this type of stuff. You got to draw a line somewhere. It's Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog.
On a stick in Buffalo. And okay. People are saying disgusting. And
so fair?
I mean, I wouldn't do it, but I'm not offended. Are you offended?
Fair or foul, Lopez?
Okay, if I had to pick one, I'll answer. Fair. It's freaking football, man. It's a doll. I don't think anybody says, they want to hang Patrick Mahomes. No, they don't. No, they don't. They're crazy football fans.
Well, maybe that was their version of like voodoo or whatever, because it is incredibly rare to beat a Patrick Mahomes-led football team, as evidenced by these stats. I think Shil Kapadia of The Ringer put this up. Yesterday was just the fifth time that a Patrick Mahomes-led Chiefs team was beaten by more than 8 points. It's for the fifth time that that's happened and has 124 starts, which is 4%. For those of you calculating at home, just the second time that it's happened in the last three seasons, that it being the Chiefs being led by Patrick Mahomes, losing by more than 8 points. So the Bills with quite the accomplishment in their 30-21 victory.
Yeah, and great finish. It got stagnant in the third quarter, and they finished. And it, you know, we talked about this. We don't have to harp on it, but. That's an entirely different Bills squad than the Texans saw here.
I do wonder like what this Texas team would do against that squad, because the defense has been really solid. Now, of course, right now you're dealing with Will Anderson Jr. Being week to week in a way that really feels like that if they were not trying to really be careful on activations from IR, that he might be on IR right now. Like if that was the case, I'd have some issues. Like full compliment, I think that they could probably still do some level of corralling. Josh Allen, which feels wild, but it also feels like a real praise to what this defense does, because Josh Allen feels like the MVP leader right now.
No, for sure, right now.
Some other things that happen around the NFL. We also mentioned a big time victory for the Steelers over the Ravens that was somewhat helped by a falling apart, it feels like, mm-hmm. of what was previously the most accurate kicker in football. In fact, the moment where he became not the most accurate man in football happened on one of those broadcaster jinks. Ian Eagle mentioned the fact that he had been Mr. Automatic through his career and all those things. And now Justin Tucker is no longer the most accurate of all time. Now, with the two field goal misses that he had, why are you clapping? Oh, he's a hater. I forgot.
I love it.
There's that Cleveland hater, the former Browns, now the Ravens.
I can't stand that dude, man.
His field goal percentage dipped to 89.15 over his career, which now makes Eddie Pinheiro the all-time most accurate field goal kicker, 89.38%. 101 field goals out of 113. He is 29 years old.
This is sadder than anything you saw in the Tyson fight. Well, let me explain. Well,
we already knew that Tyson was washed 20 years
Tyson
ago.
Was 58 years old. You knew what to expect. I'm serious. And we'll get to it again. Confessions. I got a couple of confessions about this fight. But I'm like, Justin Tucker, say it ain't so, man. You know?
Yeah, but...
And he's still trying to compete at a high level. He still is on a contending team. He's still...
I appreciate the hate that's coming.
Yeah, he really is. He's still... Like, he's in the game, you know? He's actually in his career, you know, in the NFL. Tyson was just like, we knew what was going on there. This is sad.
A big-time matchup for these two teams. I don't know how much it matters in the grand scheme of the NFL, but Packers-Bears... That it felt like the Packers got away with one as the Bears offense really came to life without one Shane Waldron. First of all, shout out to Thomas Brown, who apparently should have been given a lot more opportunity to be an offensive play caller. Mm-hmm. And secondly, hey man, Matt Eberflus, what were you doing, right? Like they got rid of the last two dudes, and we mentioned this last week, the last two dudes that you had as offensive coordinator got fired within a week of each other.
Yeah.
And the dude that you previously hired didn't make it through a full season, and immediately he goes, and your rookie quarterback looks like he's wheeling, dealing, finding space and running freely, picking up yards, and only was a blocked field goal away from beating your hated rival, the Green Bay Packers.
Certainly looked more comfortable.
100%.
I mean, the comfort level is what really stood out.
Yeah, for sure. But unfortunately, they lose the Bears against the Packers, and that makes it 2,162 days since the last time the Bears beat the Packers.
That's so sad. Talk about sad.
They are being owned in a way that I did not believe possible. 2018, December of 2018 was the last time. That was Mitchell Trubisky. Do you remember him? Do you remember him playing football?
I vaguely remember Mitchell Trubisky.
Is he still around?
Yeah, I still remember him.
What do you mean? When you say around, what do you mean?
Yeah. Is he around the NFL?
I think he is in the league, but I think he is in the league, but I'll have to do some research on that because I couldn't tell you.
Might still be.
Last time I remember, he was like a backup for the Bills, and that is where he is. He is the backup for the Bills.
Yeah.
So he got a victory this week in your face. Hold on. How about that? but not, the Bears did not. The Packers continue beating them up. A team that will continue to not get victories, I have a strong feeling. The New York Giants. Talk about down bad. This morning, they made it known that they will be benching Daniel Jones, officially moving on from him, which means welcome Danny DeVito, starter in the National Football League. So out of the bye week, the team is 2-8, and Daniel Jones heads to the bench. We were talking last week about how general manager Joe Shane said that their decision wouldn't be made on football decisions alone. Now that they have actually benched Daniel Jones, do you believe he was telling the truth that this was a decision made on football decisions only?
Sell. We'll get to that Thursday. But, I just couldn't imagine that was the case. You ready for next Thanksgiving, that Thanksgiving dinner?
Oh, that's going to be a nasty
little
one.
Little Danny DeVito against Cooper Rush.
Throw in the Lifetime Christmas movie at that point.
Yeah, so it'll be...
DeVito. I said Danny DeVito. Tommy DeVito and Cooper Rush. Might as well be Danny DeVito.
Yeah, I'd rather watch Danny DeVito at this point. Give me a Danny DeVito movie.
Shout out to the 713 who also caught that. But, yes, Tommy DeVito... because it's Giants Cowboys on Thanksgiving, and you know what just happened? Mm-hmm. What I realized earlier this morning. The football gods, if you choose to believe in such things, decided that we can't just have a good Thanksgiving of football. Somebody got to stink, and now that the Lions are good, well, it's the Dallas Cowboys, and the Giants. You got to have somebody wasting your time on Thanksgiving.
Playing the role of the Detroit Lions today will be the Dallas Cowboys.
or you know what? Maybe it's not even wasting your time. Maybe it's just we need to have one of these games that you don't have to pay attention to so that you can spend that time. That's when,
you're actually eating.
And that's the thing that is nice, because they typically have what, the middle game, right? Yeah, so it's usually the Lions at like noon. The middle game was usually like Cowboys. Yeah. And then the actual good game that we scheduled just off of it being good is at night. And now you can get that middle time right when people are getting Thanksgiving dinner going.
Or that travel time. You might be traveling somewhere else.
Go to grandma's house?
Yeah, like leaving the auntie house. Now we're going to grandma's house.
And you don't have to worry about it because it's Cooper Rush and Tommy DeVito.
They got
to
do something. But they got to switch this up at some point, right?
No,
it's history.
Man.
And it's history that's the way that
all history ain't good history, man.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't.
This is bad.
No, that's the nature of history sometimes.
We got to switch it up at some point, man.
I actually kind of like having a game where I don't have to actually have to pay attention. Just have
background
noise. Yeah. Have it on, talk to grandma.
Yeah.
Get you some
It's going to be it's going to be one point where all three of them are just awful, man.
Don't say that.
Nah, it's going to be some point where
you think
Figgy
has
like
that kind of power.
Don't
is that what you're
saying?
Don't
say that, there? Figgy. Got to be something good.
Are we in on the Denver Broncos as kind of good football team?
They are.
They beat the mess out of the Atlanta Falcons 38-6, bringing both teams to 6-5. But the thing about the Broncos, and honestly, I was like, are we in on them as kind of good football team? And then I remembered four of those wins are against the NFC South, which they have swept, which means one of those games was a good win. Well, maybe two.
No.
All right, one in a possible. But 38-6. A big-time victory, and a lot of it, you got to say, was Bo Nix playing pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Is he the rookie of the year?
That is the question that Lopez poses, and I resoundingly say stop that. He's been good, though.
Hey, let me give you something.
Just in this game, 85% completion percentage, 300 yards, and four tutties.
I seen those numbers, too. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. 2,300 yards, Jaden Daniels, 2,300-plus. 14 TDs, 10 TDs. 300 rushing yards, 482 rushing yards. I mean,
yeah, but here's the kicker, right? Jaden Daniels has an offense that's way more reliant on him as an individual. Now, Bo Nix has been a very good. I think this is where Sean Payton gets his due as a play caller and as a coach. They have perfectly identified the things that he can do and the things that he can't do, and they keep him entirely in that realm of, hey, this is the stuff that you can do.
He
does it to a high level. Like, this is the benefit of having Bo Nix, 7-year college starter, right? Mm-hmm. That actually might not be far off from the truth. I think he might have played
I think it's around seven.
Yeah, he might 6 or 7, for real. But he became the first rookie in NFL history to complete 80% of his passes while throwing four touchdowns and 300-plus yards. Like, he is operating at a level that is kind of, you know, not reasonable or not usually expected from a rookie quarterback. So you got to give him his due.
It's not really popular to say around here, but let's also give credit to Sean Payton.
I mean,
come on. He's looking kind of smart right now, man. He's scheming up some really good stuff. I have a thought on the rookie of the year. I think when it comes to Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels at this point, based kind of on what you're saying, like, Jaden Daniels, they're relying on him more.
So much,
you know?
More. Yeah.
I think it should be Brock Bowers.
Well, Brock Bowers,
he is killing it.
Yeah, man. He had a crazy game.
He's second in the league in receptions. Second.
I mean, and maybe
on the Raiders, you know, kind of what you're saying, well, he's doing more. Brock Bowers doesn't have squat around him. He's got 70 catches.
Man. Yeah, and I'm like, maybe I was not paying as much attention to him, but it felt like this game in particular, where I was able to actually really watch it, they really decided, oh, that is the cheat code on the field, right? Yeah. Like, apparently they watched Georgia enough to draft him, but not enough to realize that is a cheat code.
Yeah.
They just threw the football to him a whole bunch. 13 receptions, 126 yards, and a touchdown against the Dolphins. Most receptions by a rookie tight end in NFL history, and he became the first tight end in NFL history to reach 700 receiving yards in your first
career. He might lead
the
league in receptions.
Yeah.
Jamar Chase has 73. He's got 70, second.
Yeah.
For the Raiders. That, if we're being honest, that's the rookie of the year.
And yeah, without
that's the offensive rookie of the
without
year.
Without a quarterback of real note. Aiden O'Connell and then Gardner Minshew for a majority of this, man.
Yeah.
Like, shout out to Brock Bowers continuing to show that cheat code ability that he has. But going back to the Bo Nix Rookie of the Year, salute to that man, but I personally still handing it to Jaden Daniels. But there's still games to be played, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's why you play all of these. Maybe he can continue to show himself and actually win that award.
Yeah.
And I have to stop remembering Bo Nix as Auburn Bo Nix and just view him as he is right now.
Yeah.
Shout out to all the New Orleans lovers out in our listening audience, because you got a Taysom Hill game. It feels like once a year you get one of these. Mm-hmm. And here was the one, as Taysom Hill had 138 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns. I don't know why I said it that way. Also threw the ball one time and had 8 catches for 50 yards. Like, he was just, the Swiss Army knife was actually Swiss Army-ing on this particular day. For a big time, 230 all-purpose yards and a victory versus the Cleveland Browns.
I mean, give him credit, but how many more of these type? Not well. It's hard to ask for this, but like Taysom Hill impact games, can you expect maybe one more
in his career?
It's wild. No, this year, it's wild. He just throws one up every once in a while.
It's crazy how you having a career like this. Like, what position do we play?
Yes,
yes,
athlete.
He's just
you know
player.
In college where they're recruiting a kid and they're just like. I mean, he could play all sorts of different. We just going to label him as athlete.
We just going to put you on the field.
Yeah.
And I just could not believe that they kept keeping on to this man on the roster. This
and paid him.
Sean Payton this week got to feel like, I am so much smarter than all you other dummies. I kept Taysom Hill around, and you see why. And I had Bo Nix out here humming. Don't y'all feel stupid?
Yeah.
And yes, in a way, but also, I still can't believe that we are in this place both with Bo Nix and Taysom Hill.
Mm-hmm.
He's 34 years old, mind you.
That's right. He's older.
Because first of all, he went to BYU. He had the mission and everything. So he already came out older. Plus, he'd been in the league for a minute. I still can't believe that is happening. But shout out to Taysom Hill having a big game that ultimately got there. And shout out to 832 on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, who said that Brock Bowers put up 30 plus fantasy points for them.
No, people need to reset. And you know, Jaden Daniels, he's a contender. Bo Nix, he's a contender. The Rookie of the Year is Brock Bowers.
Now, do it matter how good the team is doing? Is this?
Well, I think it should matter more.
I was about to say, is this like an NBA type of scale? Or
imagine him with a quarterback.
If you're just looking at numbers, then I agree with you.
Imagine him with like a good team and a quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm just digging into all the various people who mentioned their fantasy teams.
Yeah.
Because I guess I care about people's fantasy team for right now. Cam said on the YouTube that he went against Taysom Hill in 3 of his leagues.
Oh,
man.
That hurts.
Condolences.
First of all, someone started Taysom Hill 3 times. There are 3 different people started Taysom Hill.
Well, yeah, I don't even know what to say to that.
Yeah.
God bless. Viacom deals. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on a pre-action Monday, heading into Texans, Cowboys tonight on Monday Night Football. Two key Texas players defensively are out, and it could possibly be 3. Will it matter? 713-572-4610. Let's discuss that next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, pre-action Monday is what I'm calling it. Reaction Tuesday is what it'll be for us tomorrow. In fact, and we'll be on the road as well. We'll be at Texas Star Grill Shop in the Woodlands. Hanging out with
right off 45, hard to miss.
It's actually great timing for me because I need to refill my OG sauce. That is not me. Like,
I got you.
Oh, you got me. Okay, so I'm not even going to worry about
Figgy,
it.
Figgy, how you doing on it?
I'm good. I'm good on it.
All right. As long as I
just had some recently.
All right, I'll bring some more.
Put some on some chicken.
Not tomorrow.
Same. I made some wings this weekend.
Yeah.
Watching some of that college football, but also it'll be a Texas Ticket Tuesday, so we'll also give away some Texas tickets for I believe the Titans game.
Game coming up.
It'll be a great day, especially if the Texans handle their business tonight at AT&T Stadium, and if they do it in a big way as well, that'd be fantastic for me. But there's a couple of things that could possibly stand in the way of that. And there's a couple of Texans defenders that are going to be out. The vaunted Texans defense that various metrics will point to and almost give you an indication that they're probably actually even better than some people are giving them credit for. I was just looking at something earlier, and damn it, I can't remember where it is.
So well, while you're doing that, you're talking about Will Anderson and Folu Fadakasi.
Yeah, man. Those ones, absolutely. Well, Will Anderson is one that I think we should have understood and expected with that ankle.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to it, when the day that it happened, the games that it happened, you were like, yeah, it didn't.
Just looked funny.
It looked funny.
It just looked funny to me.
And there's not any way to quantify funny, but it seems like the way that we're quantifying it is missed games.
Yeah.
He's missing time, and he's been designated. And designations are always interesting because they kind of tell you something while also not really telling you much at all. But week to week is not one of those designations that you're like, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
He might play this week. Week to week is just that, yeah, man, it's going to be a little bit.
Because they
time.
Say day to day otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Or they won't even go as far as day to day. Day to day even still feels a little bit further out, right?
Yeah.
He's been talked about as week to week, which makes me think that if the Texans weren't in this place where they've had a lot of IR designations, mm-hmm. and last year they ran out of opportunities to return people from IR because you're limited to 8 over the course of an entire season returns.
Yeah, maybe
from
they're planning
IR.
That.
I think that they might be playing with a little bit of caution in that regard and keeping Will Anderson on the active roster because you do have a lot of depth pass rushing wise, which feels like might be pointing to that, but. He's again not playing in this one. It's one of the benefits before I move forward.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think is beneficial about the way that the schedule has now stacked up, where you have these next 3 games that I don't feel like are as challenging
mm-hmm. no, that's
as,
fair.
As other games.
I would say the same thing,
right? To put it as kindly. And so Will Anderson Jr.'s clear benefit to your defense isn't deathly necessary,
mm-hmm.
But it does feel like he's going to be missing for quite a few of these next.
Well,
games.
With that in mind, Figgy, I want to give Reggie a hall pass here on the whole Dallas thing.
Okay,
because you know I was talking about those two guys missing, and really
Foley's a big one though,
and really Lassiter. He was limited, but in concussion protocol, so that it's kind of up in the air. So you might have 3, pretty much key players on the defensive side. With Will Anderson Jr. and Fadakasi definitely out, and we'll see about Lassiter. But I'm looking at this team, and obviously the Cowboys are just not good. They're not good running the ball. They're not good passing the ball. Cooper Rush was an absolute mess in his last start. So I want to hit you with a couple of things here, Reggie, since you have been there more recently on a day to day basis than anybody around here. Will the defensive front be fine without those two guys? Against the Cowboys now.
I think so. I believe so. Worth noting, Mario Edwards is returning, obviously, for mm-hmm. these Texans. So that's going to be helpful when it comes to defensive tackle. He's not the same as Folu Rochelle Fatukasi. I think that Togai, if I'm saying his name correctly, mm-hmm. played admirably last week in Foley's stead or in some of those instances.
Yeah.
But... this offensive line that you're facing off against for the Cowboys is not, it's not no wall of great wall of Dallas, right?
Yeah.
It's not that. And even the offensive lines that they've had relatively recently, this is kind of a transitional offensive line where the left side of it, their left tackle is a rookie, true rookie, mm-hmm. Tyler Guyton, who they're not even sure if he's, you know, if he's that guy yet, like if he's playable right now. Their left guard is real strong in Tyler Smith. Like mm-hmm. that's a Pro Bowl caliber player. Their center is Cooper Beebe, who was a rookie as well, and he likes throwing people out the club, short arms, but he's still early, right?
Yeah.
He's still early in it. Zach Martin's an interesting one at right guard because you know the name.
It's a brand.
He's going to be in. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. I feel,
mm-hmm.
but he is waning, right?
Yeah.
Like legends do fade at times, and it does feel like that's you're seeing the fading on the right side. And then Terrence Steele is a funny one because he mm-hmm. was an undrafted free agent on the offensive line. That played really well, got himself a contract, and has since been kind of, if that sounds anything like a right tackle that you might know.
Titus.
I ain't say it, you did. and so, like, there's places to be got, particularly on the outsides,
mm-hmm.
which, hey, doesn't that sound great for a certain Danico Autry and Danielle Hunter?
Yeah.
So I do think that that'll be great, especially going up against a quarterback in Cooper Rush who's a don't-mess-it-up quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is a guy that just kind of operates the offense well, and if you have stuff around him to work, he can get wins, as evidenced by the victories that he's had on his schedule. That is not the Dallas Cowboys team that you're facing, so I think mm-hmm. you can get pressure and heat him up.
You just said something that I thought was interesting.
Okay.
Because you said he's Cooper Rush is just a don't mess it up kind of guy. But is that something of a worry? Mike McCarthy's, well, he's going to get fired, but he's really trying to create something out of nothing here. Is the offensive game plan, you know, the nothing to lose mentality, does that fit a Mike McCarthy, you know, Monday Night Football sort of template that there might be some things that we don't see? And frankly, are they even capable of some things that we don't expect? Because all I see is CeeDee Lamb. That's pretty much it.
It really is CeeDee Lamb, man. And I think one of the things that could be really interesting is if they actually get smart and realize that Cooper Rush does not, like, playing him doesn't bring them anything and they play Trey Lance. Because Trey Lance is he's kind of a bundle of unknown. He has not played a ton of football. Obviously, we've seen him some with the Niners, and there's definitely some stuff to be desired. But he at least brings the mobility element that then brings the Texans back to a place where you have to consider contain.
Yeah.
And that mobile element, and now the math game changes from having a guard 10 to guard 11, right? I do want to go to Matt Burke, though. The coordinators talked on Friday, and Matt Burke was asked specifically on what some of the big challenges were with the struggling Cowboys defense, and I thought the way that he answered it was kind of illuminating.
Yeah, man. I mean, they got one of the best receiving in the league. I mean, the system, just watching it, you know, the system's been the system, and they've operated at a pretty high level for a long time. You know, our challenge is what it always is about us, you know, and us being in the right spots. And, you know, it's a little different than some of the schemes we've been playing. Just some of the run schemes are a little different, a little more inside stuff. You mean like the challenge in terms of like they're going to get, you know, four hands on our inside pieces and try to move that way and stay heavy on blocks. Not as much the lateral stuff, things like that.
Hmm. Yeah, the inside stuff I thought was really interesting, which, again, comes back to like Foley not being there and such. But one of the things that was fun was that he was like, yeah, CeeDee Lamb, but it's really more about us, kind of.
Yeah, no, that's why I'm asking.
And when he was talking about that offense that, you know, they've played for a while, it's because it's an antiquated offense. I think I literally wrote it down when I was listening through that, hey, man, Mike McCarthy has an old, antiquated offense. This is why they got their asses beat in the first round, or the first time that they played in the divisional round of the playoffs when they played against the Packers.
Yeah.
Because that is an 08 ass offense. That is, you know, a lot of you know, hooks and curls and, you know, the slants, and it's been well understood the answers to what they do. And I have a strong feeling that Matt Burke understands that, and that's why he speaks about it that way. Is, you know, not saying that, hey, man, there's a lot of imaginative stuff. This is stuff that's been on paper for a long time that coordinators around the league have gotten some understanding of. So I'm not afraid of this offense.
What about Rico Dowdle?
Rico Dowdle is an interesting guy that hasn't had a lot of opportunity in his history. He's had some injuries in his history, but he has like 300 yards a rushing this season. Like, he averages 4.5.
But he's
going to
be the starter, by the way, for those who didn't
know. He will be the starter, but he's not individually brilliant, if that makes sense, right? And that's an offense an offensive line, as I was talking earlier, that yards before contact, they are ranked 23rd. In the league. So it's not like they're getting a whole bunch of push. And if you're not getting a whole bunch of push necessarily, are you getting a running back on the back end who's going to take not a lot of push and get some explosives like Joe Mixon? No, not really. Yeah. So again, not super afraid of that.
No, nor are any of us who have been watching you know, this game and, I mean, this team and what the Texans maybe could do. But it just got me thinking about Mike McCarthy, you know, sort of desperation mode, nothing to lose mode. And what you're saying is he might not have those tricks in the bag.
No, I don't think so. Now, one of the things I am interested in is Kamar Lassiter, whether or not he plays, and if he doesn't, right, your cornerback depth and those types of things, because obviously you're talking about CeeDee Lamb, one of those guys who operates from everywhere and can operate from the slot and often does. Like, what does that look like? But then also, Jalen Tolbert has had a little bit of a coming, you know, he's gotten a little bit better. But don't forget that they traded for Jonathan Mingo. Not an incredible wide receiver, but I'm interested in seeing, like, what he now with more of that. Like, does he pose any level of challenge, especially against the Jeff Okuda that we haven't seen at all, right? I think that the unknown of some of those other things might play in more. But on the strengths of the Cowboys themselves, no, I'm not.
And the Jalen Petrie factor?
It's
they're going to try to attack the slot.
It's the CD. It's the CD part of it. But if there's not a lot of other guys that you're super worried about.
No Jake Ferguson, no.
Jake Ferguson's interesting, but I think that Jake Ferguson probably, as a tight end, is something that I don't feel bad about with Jalen Petrie. Like, Jalen Petrie is as more of a safety-type player. I'm okay with him sticking with a tight end. It really is those wide receivers that are really, really good or kind of shifty that I have concerns about against Jalen Petrie. And that's CeeDee Lamb more than it is Jake Ferguson. Although I don't know that I've ever felt, or maybe not ever, but I don't know that there are many more tight ends that love hurdling than Jake
there's
Ferguson.
There's a lot that love it.
And so I wouldn't, you know, I don't know if I'd actually bet. Actually, I know I wouldn't bet because I don't got the money like that. But the idea that, hey, you see Jake Ferguson catch the football and try and hurdle, I would anticipate that. But there you go. I don't think that it'll matter that you're missing these defensive players, but I am going to watch these spaces, right? Obviously, Will Anderson Jr., there's clear evidence that there's a that there hasn't been the same level of play. Like, the sacks go down significantly when he is not playing, but you have an immobile quarterback, so I'm not super worried about that. Foley in the middle, they're going to try and really get in the middle of your defense, but still, Mario Edwards, Tim Settle, Togai have been solid in there. And then, you know, the idea of Kamari Lassiter is the real interesting one for me. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Somebody asked, revenge game for Schultz? I mean, it'd be cool if he is, because I feel like it should be, because everybody should get some revenge in this. Everybody gets
and he said a few things about Dallas.
For sure. Yeah. He sure did. So there you go. Coming up next, let's go. Let's get into what's popping, as there's been some news. There's some news in the NBA space. Your Rockets had a fantastic weekend, and Minute Maid Park is no more. Let's talk about all that next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's see what's popping on a pre-action Monday as we get ready for Texans, Cowboys, Monday Night Football up at AT&T Stadium. But that stadium isn't the one that we're concerned about. It is the one that was originally christened Enron Field. Then became Minute Maid Park, and is now Daikin Park.
I'm sorry, what?
Daikin Park.
Daikin Park.
Yes, and the naming, or as of 9:30 this morning, I believe it was announced.
How many people Googled Daikin?
A lot of people, although you should have known, as it seems like some people need to apologize to Michael Schwab, who had let us know about a month out.
He had a hunch.
That this was happening. I imagine 10, it was 17. A little more than a hunch. I have a feeling that it was a little bit more than a hunch. You might have had some insight that...
a month ago, huh? You said October 17th, Figgy?
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. So the Daikin is a Japanese air conditioner company, and a big one at that. They now have a 15-year deal for the naming rights on the building previously known as Minute Maid Park. And Coca-Cola basically was like good with getting out of the deal, it seems like.
Yeah.
And ultimately,
they said, oh, they out of the wild card. We out.
They got a lot out of it. No.
They said, nah, we cool, man.
Minute Maid got a ton out of this thing.
I do wonder, though.
They did.
Yeah. Right, like Minute Maid as a brand, I was like, I wonder if Coca-Cola is even still like pushing that brand so heavily to the point where they wonder,
is that
money worthwhile? But I thought that maybe if that was the way that they felt, that they might just change the branding.
Yeah,
let's dip.
Let's go to somewhere else. You know, this is weird to me. I think it's weird to everybody. You know, obviously, first of all, it's going to take me several years not to call it Minute Maid Park. It's just been because that's one of the few.
Well, did people even call it Minute Maid Park? A lot of people call it the juice box, which I feel like there's a nice transition to the ice box, right? Like with the HVAC or air conditioning company,
a $10 billion company. So it definitely is one of the top, and it's also one of those that's really, you can tell I Googled. It's also one of those companies that's really into.
No, you keep up with air conditioning companies. I've often said
it's
that.
A hobby of mine. You know, sustainable. Use of their power and then AC units and stuff. So it's a good, strong, healthy, rich company. All I'm saying is, how many people know this? How many people are gonna, like, outside of Reggie Atatula, who seems to know the actual everything. Government name of most stadiums? How many people are gonna you know? Say, oh yeah, Houston. Daikin Park. It's awkward. It's hard.
I think the real question is that stadium going to be cool now?
That is the stadium.
Yeah.
I was like,
because a lot of people was complaining last season how hot it was.
When that summer comes around, it'll be a real bad look.
It better be cold as ice box.
Right, because that's the funny thing is you think about the naming rights, and that's really just to slap your name up there. Of course, there's a little bit of a partnership between yourself and the organization, but like, it'd be a real bad look if it's hot in there, right? So Daikin got to come through with the AC units, right?
Yeah, y'all better hook us up, too.
They cannot fail on
this. We can't go to another AC company to fix our AC. Y'all got to hook us up.
This has to be like one of their big points. We cannot fail on a hot stadium.
That's like Lopez endorsing Ability Trees, but Ability Trees not cutting his backyard.
Exactly.
Nah, they got to hook you up, too.
They got to hook it up. Is that a good investment?
What do you mean? For Daikin? I honestly never know if any of these really are all that useful, especially like the insurance companies or whatever. Yeah. People like, yo, MetLife, that's right. They own the name of the stadium. Let me go look at them for my insurance.
I think it depends what you want out of it. If you just want your name out there, then sure. But how many people looking at, oh, Daikin? Oh, let me see what this is.
Make them a street in New York? Is Daikin a street or is it a neighborhood? I never remember.
But see, I think
I think it is.
I think Minute Maid was a good investment. I think we can all agree on that. People just knew it. It was easy to say. I think Minute Maid itself maybe got something out of
cool
it.
To me.
Sounds cool. I don't know. Is that a good? Hey, I got to get me some new AC. I'm gonna go to Daikin. I don't know. I'm really asking the question.
That's none of my business. I ain't the one paying out the money.
How about this?
15 years till 2039, which doesn't feel like a real date. I don't know why. Seeing 2039 made me feel like that's not a real time. But yes, that is how long the deal runs through.
And how about this? The little choo-choo train over.
Don't call it a little choo-choo train. I don't like how dismissive that was. I don't like that at all.
Lopez over here. Yeah, Thomas the Train.
Your little train
with
thing.
With the dude in the overalls that I don't know what exactly he does. But anyway.
Yeah, Jim Crane apparently said in regards to that there is a quote-unquote surprise that will be revealed on opening day, courtesy of Chandler Rome. And now people are guessing what it is. In fact, I think Seth Crane was like, Freon, baby, a whole bunch of Freon in there.
Cans of Freon, air compressors. Are they going to put some air compressors in the back
just
of that
train? Just a big old HVAC unit in there.
Put a refrigerator in there.
Refrigerator, I don't know. Like, what could be the surprise? Baseballs? Just go totally into baseball with the branding?
Put a bunch of ice back there?
Ice.
Now, one of the important things that came out of this opportunity to talk to Jim Crane, apparently Chandler Rome got this quote from Jim Crane saying, we want to try and field the best team we can without going crazy. Some of the payrolls are pretty high for the bigger teams, but I think we were the fifth highest payroll. That's the first time we've done that. We have the wherewithal to do it if we need to do it, close quote. What do you hear from that?
From the payroll? From Bregman?
From that Jim Crane quote that I just read.
Yeah. I don't know.
We ain't spending a lot of money, guys.
I'm kind of sort of, my thought on this is kind of contaminated because I saw what, I forget who it was saying that now Bregman is talking about 7, 8, 9 years on the deal. So I just don't know how it's going to play out.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, that didn't feel really great. I'd used a lot of time there, so let's move it along. Beyonce coming back to Houston and performing.
All right.
Christmas Day. It'll be Texans, Baltimore Ravens. We'll talk more about this in the mixtape, but it was announced late last night.
Why?
That Beyonce is doing a halftime performance on that game that will be broadcast nationally on Netflix. Of course, we'll have a local copy of the broadcast as well. I don't remember where it was, so I'm not going to lie to you, where it will be. Mm-hmm. But, I have a feeling that Netflix is going to have, I was thinking that they'll be fine on the Christmas Day broadcast. Typically, these games are like maybe 20, 25 million viewers compared to the 65 that had them crashing for Tyson Paul. But if you don't believe that Beyonce fans are going to tune in to try and watch her,
dude,
you got another thing coming.
Yeah. I had like 5 or 6 people hit me up about tickets, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't think I'm getting.
Oh, you the ticket man now?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I hate when they do that.
See if you got an extra pass.
Yeah, can you get me a ticket? Sure. Let me see. Let me dig into my vault of tickets.
Hey, can I be your plus one?
This is a good thing, man. I don't care what anybody says. You know, Beyonce, Christmas Day, Netflix is going to promote as much her as the game. You know they are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they absolutely going to promote her as much as
that's going to be a national spotlight,
yes,
man.
Yes, yes. Coming home.
Just even simply off of social media.
It's going to be this is a fantastic thing to have, and on Christmas Day, even better.
We'll get more into that, as I said, in the mixtape with Figgy, because I know Figgy want to talk about
it. I got questions
music
for you, Figgy.
Yeah,
big
man.
Questions.
It's the mixtape featuring the OG.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Love to see it.
I feel honored.
A lot of folks coming in with a lot of the Daikin. Daikin has a huge factory in Waller, apparently. Mm-hmm. manufacturer of air conditioners, you buy them under different brand names. Okay, so manufacturer, and then you see it. So, okay, all right. Shout out.
Again, does that make it a good investment?
No idea.
Yeah.
No idea.
If they even use other brands?
Hey, they just want to see their name on that building. That's all it is.
Good for them. Good for the Astros. It's just a simple question. Is that good? Is that a good investment?
It is if you got the money.
Yeah, as long as, look, when it, for Astros purposes, will the checks clear till 2039? Yeah. If that's the case, it's a great investment.
Yeah.
Another thing to talk about in what's popping, how about these Rockets, man? Rockets are cruising. They got a they finished out the little baseball series with the Clippers and beat them up pretty handily. In fact, the big thing on that night was that James Harden was four three-pointers away from passing Ray Allen on the all-time three-pointer record, and they made it their point to run him off the line and said, "No, sir, that you can tie Reggie Miller's record on the rankings. You cannot pass him. You shall not pass." And the Rockets got a victory there. And then yesterday night, or after. No, it was night because it started at 6. They put Belt to Keister.
Man, they did.
On the Chicago Bulls. And early on, I was watching that game thinking, oh, man, like the Bulls, that's another young team that plays with energy. I was like, ooh, this could be, you know, this could get a little sloppy. Mm-hmm. And no, the Rockets found a way, like, while with still that energy and excitement and pace, or, you know, relative pace, like, they still also had more control than a Chicago Bulls team that admittedly isn't good, and they put 143 points on
it. And the thing about this weekend with the Rockets, you know, obviously Şengün with the triple doubles and all that, and they got yesterday's done really without the Twin Terrors contributing a whole lot. I think what we're seeing here is obviously it's still early, you know, and you've said it a couple of times last week. You know, they're the number four seed, you know, but it's awfully early to say that. Now they're the number three seed.
9-1 in their last 10.
And while it is.
Oh, sorry. 8-2 in their last 10, my apologies.
Yeah. And while it is still early, we are starting to get a real good feel for what this. I mean, they are going to be in the mix. I don't know if it's going to be 3, 4, 5, maybe 6. I don't know. But they are going to be
definitely a playoff team.
They are in the mix in the middle of it all in the Western Conference. Only one team in the Western Conference has more wins than the Rockets. One. And I think two altogether.
That is Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Who has 11 wins, and then Golden State is 10-2, so they haven't played as many
games. So while it's early, it's not too early to say this is a squad that's going to be in the mix. You know, for the duration.
The goal was to make the playoffs. Yeah. And early on, it feels like they're on the right trajectory. Mm-hmm. We will have to have a conversation about how after November or into November, Jalen Green, the numbers not still in that place. I have a strong feeling that'll happen on Wednesday with our guy Adam Spillane when we have him in at 10:40. But before we get there, I don't want to talk about the negative. I want to talk about this positive. Alperen Şengün in these two games over the weekend, triple doubles in both of them. Which was the first Rockets back-to-back triple doubles since James Harden in 2020, and he's also the youngest center to reach five career triple doubles since Nikola Jokic. That baby Jokic thing is really hitting hard right now.
He is settling into the way I put it before the show is, dare I say, a dominant role. But he's settling into a very significant role at the heart of this squad.
Yes,
I mean, very, very significant. And you said it, you know. I think as much a part of this as anything, Fred VanVleet is just comfortable, man.
Absolutely,
he is just pulse on the offense, knows when and where to whether it's drive, dish, you know, whatever it may be. Just has a great feel, which is what a point guard's all about.
Absolutely, and one of the things that it's nice that he is not a point guard is Reed Shepard. They've taken him out of that role of having to handle the ball.
Yeah.
And one of the things that was nice against the Bulls, everybody got points.
He got some shots.
Cam Whitmore didn't play, but everybody else scored.
Yeah,
4 or 5 from three, all of those catch and shoot. I was like, this is what I wanted to see. It felt like there was too much responsibility on him trying to get his own shot and get people involved. Off ball, catch and shoot. That's what you got him for, and that's what he is doing. There's a lot of things to like about what the Rockets are doing right now. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, and I just realized that I didn't even get to this note that got put down. You said Rockets monitoring Giannis, according to Mark Stein. All right.
Monitoring Giannis.
Okay. All right, we don't even have time.
Who they face.
We don't even have time right now. Yeah, the Bucks. They're playing the Bucks tonight, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that okay.
Yeah, so they're going to be watching them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things. Yeah,
hey, Mark Stein's reliable.
He is. He's very good in this space. Yeah. There's a lot of things there. Yeah, we'll get to at another point. Thing to remember, 10-4 Rockets really hooping at this moment. All right, coming up next, let's get back to your Texans, who are probably going to take up a majority of the oxygen when it comes to Houston sports tonight. Let's talk about this, though, and answer this question honestly. Are you a little or maybe even a lot nervous about tonight's game? 713-572-4610. Let's discuss it.